This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
RBD Podcast, boys. Salute, Matty boy. Dalton is off the wagon. It's been a minute. We haven't been on here in quite some time. I don't think things have been slow, but it's just been like things have been busy.
Yeah, very busy.
Right? I mean, I don't know. I feel like I don't really feel like any of us has been doing really any serious shooting for the last few weeks, probably, right? I mean, we've been kind of getting together on Wednesdays here and there, but it hasn't been like serious prep work until I would say now, like right around now.
Yeah, last week's shenanigans and stuff like that. But I mean, we're really starting to turn it up now, I would say.
Well, I mean, we're 2 months out, right, from Lancaster. So, yeah. Plus there's a bunch of other shoots going on. Like, are you going to the Rockville Rumble this weekend?
No, I have Mountain Trail this weekend. And then Rockville Rumble December 20th. And then there's another local shoot day after New Year's. And then House Neck has one on the 11th. And then we roll into our Lancaster warm-up and invitational. And then it's Lancaster. So, what? I mean, I'm about to be...
What is the one that's the day after New Year's?
That's Corning.
Corning. Yeah, I might actually do that.
They're doing it.
Are they filled up?
No, I don't think so. They're doing it a little bit later in the day. So it's not like right first thing in the morning when everybody's still hungover. I don't drink that much. So
I'm
going to try and take advantage of people being a little bit hungover.
I might get a hold of them guys. I think that might be one. I wanted to go to Straight Arrow this weekend.
Well, that's this weekend.
They have their
Straight Arrows has a Toys for Tots this weekend up at their new facility, and I really wanted to go to do that, but we have a family Christmas obligation this weekend to do, so I'm going to miss that. But I am definitely going to go to their
Invitational.
That's in February. I think that's February 21st. It could be absolutely out of my mind with that date.
Straight Arrow Invitational is Friday, February 27th Saturday the 28th.
Yep, and I think
if I remember right, it's just a 300 round and there's no shoot ups or anything.
Just shoot a score.
Yep, they just shoot a score and then they'll pay it out from there.
I want to go up and see Bill and Karen. They're good friends of mine. I want to see their new spot. And, you know, I want to try to I want to try to do some more local things this winter than I normally do. But, man, the schedule is tight.
Yeah, it starts picking up here real soon. Because, I mean, another thing that, you know, not local shoots, but, like, the RBD SmackDown's going to start right there in January. Your league's going to start in January.
Oh, we're going to be right ripping here in a minute. You know what I mean? So trying to find time to hit all these things will be something that we have to work on. But I think that New Year's shoot is interesting because that's like a Thursday or something. So Shop ain't open. Everybody's probably going to be just mellow and chilling on New Year's Day. I think I'll get a hold of Sash and try to maybe get myself in up on that one. That'll be a good for me, that'd be kind of a good warm up for Lancaster, since I don't really shoot any warm ups unless I get in on ours here if someone doesn't show up or something, as like a backup, you know. So that'll be good for me, but I'd be interested in trying to get involved in that. But yeah, I mean, so we haven't really been doing a ton of stuff because mainly we've been out trying to shoot deer. I mean, archery season for me, I got a nice new PSE carbon bow that I've been wanting for the last few seasons, and I never got to draw that damn thing back on a single deer. You know, I don't even know. I don't think I had any opportunities at any bucks. I mean, they're all really smaller bucks. And then, I wanted to shoot does in the worst way. I couldn't get a doe in front of me to save my life. I mean, and then if I did, there was like all kinds of, edit that out. I couldn't get a doe in front of me to save my life during archery season. I mean, and I wanted to shoot two the first weekend.
Right. Yeah, no. And then I feel like my archery season was the polar opposite of yours. I had tons of opportunities that either were just couldn't pull it all together, or I screwed up. I mean, I screwed up three opportunities, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, archery is so hard. I mean, you and I have properties we know like the back of our hands, and even still, there's so many, you know, like,
it's all got to go perfect.
The thing of it is, too, and I don't know, you know, like, I think every year, you know, I don't know what kind of, you know, some years I got some really nice buck on this property, some years I don't. I don't want to kill buck out of their places. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you and I had talked about maybe doing some public land stuff around here, whatever, here or there. Man, I just really like to just shoot them here at the house.
Yeah, there's extra meaning for sure.
Right? You know what I mean? Like I don't. I mean, it's a struggle, but I'd rather like live the struggle than.
I think I'm at a point where like I still want to kill them at my property, New York or PA, but now like I'm starting to hit that point where it's like, let's go to a different state.
Well.
Like, let's go to Ohio. Like, what are your thoughts on? Kentucky, etc.
I would like to do. I mean, we had that. We were potentially going to go to Ohio this year, and then you end up getting draw for your Colorado tag,
right?
To go out there.
Look, if y'all buy me a jet boat, I'll use it through the fishing season, and then you can pick wherever you want to get dropped off in the river.
Maybe we're thinking about this Bridget Dennell stuff wrong.
Yeah.
We trying to get her like a wrecking crew bus. Maybe we need to buy like a jetliner so Matt can pilot us around.
We need a river jet boat. I know the perfect place to build one right here in PA.
And then we just got to find public land with water access and we're golden.
Yeah, and we're good.
We can go through a couple inches of water and...
Look, you ain't going to twist my leg. That might be the off-season plan right there.
But no, so I didn't see many doe either during archery season. I mean, I saw a couple good bucks. I mean, my number one buck in New York snuck in behind me when I wasn't really ready and was chasing the doe and was through two shooting lanes before I could even get drawn. That sucked. And then... Well, the one that I ended up shooting with my gun during New York Rifle was actually one that he jumped the string on me and I gave him a haircut. So that was kind of ironic.
That was a... And what broadheads are you shooting?
I'm running the Severed Hybrid 1.75s. I was trying them this year.
I don't know if I'm actually familiar with those broadheads. There's other ones like them, though, right? Like doesn't Bomar run those beasts?
Yeah.
They're kind of like them Severs?
Similar, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was partially my fault. It was also, he busted me as I drew, so he was highly on edge. And it was a hard quarter and away shot. And when I cut that arrow loose, he turned so darn quick. That arrow, instead of going behind his into his offset shoulder, went right down the edge of him and shaved him.
I don't know if people, they're always accounting for the drop, right? Which I personally haven't experienced much of that, right? You know what I mean? I mean, maybe if you, like if I had video footage of the deer I shoot with my bow, maybe I experience it more than I think. But what I have noticed is I don't think people take into account them turning. Like, they will turn.
Oh, yeah.
If you're taking a quartering two or a quartering away shot, they may turn quicker than they drop.
Right? I couldn't believe it. I mean,
it's almost like they step to the side.
I mean, that's all. It was like he just had his right foot planted in the ground and just pushed. I mean, to looking back at it, he only had to move probably 6-7 inches, but he moved that faster than that arrow could get to him.
So fast.
So that kind of sucked. I never even drew blood. I just shaved him. And then he showed up on camera like the next day, acting fine, chasing doe. So I thought that was going to be pretty much the end of my experience with him. And then, yeah, full circle, opening afternoon of New York Rifle. I didn't even know it was him. I shot him at like 140 yards through the woods, through like the smallest hole that I've ever had. And then I know I called you and I was like, you're not going to believe what buck I just killed.
I mean, that wound was nasty.
That wound
was the size of a grapefruit cut up around the side.
I was bummed out I wasn't able to kill anything with those arrows this year, because just based on that arrow nicking him and how big that wound was, I would love to see what one would do through the cavity. Because like you said, it was the size of a grapefruit and it just nicked him.
That was a flesh wound.
Yeah, it was a flesh wound that, I mean, it peeled him open. Impressively. Those broadheads are sharp.
I might try them next year just based on your recommendation of them. Like, I like, and don't think I've seen them, but I like the way you've explained them to me, how they lock open.
Yeah, they pivot.
They pivot.
What I like about them the most, right, is they've got, you can get them in a 2-inch, a 1.5, and a 1.75, which I'm running the 1.75, just so I can get a little bit more penetration, but I also get the blade cut. But then what I like is they've got a 3/4-inch bleeder, the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
With the bleeder.
And I like the bleeder because it's not just a slit, right? You're not just slicing them open with a two blade. You're also, you know, punching a hole through them, and that's just harder. It's harder to clot up, I think.
And you were in Colorado before you, before the gun opener for New York.
Yeah. I was in Colorado, like, what people call the October lull. I don't believe there is.
Oh, you went out in October.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you were out there in November. I forgot their early gun season is October.
Yeah, we were in Colorado. I don't know, like October 20th, I think, somewhere around there.
Like from the 14th. Into November.
No, like October 14th till the 25th or something like that. We were out there. We got back right before Halloween.
Yeah, that's right. So you mean? I don't know. I mean, I feel like I hunted through that time, and the action here wasn't, like, stellar.
No, I don't think I missed anything crazy. I don't think I missed anything crazy when it came to hunting season. Back here, I was kind of the drive to go back out there. We weren't going during prime rut or pre-rut or, you know, lockdown or anything like that. It was just October, like I said, 15th to, like, 22nd or something, somewhere in there. So it is what it is.
I mean, I think I hunted this year archery more than I have in the past, just because work afforded me that. I was between projects, so like those first 2 weeks.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com.
That's TheRealReal.com.
November. Yeah. I didn't have to work, but I was picking and choosing my days. You know what I mean? And you got to be in the woods to kill them. But, you know, seeing some action, just not a ton of it. You know what I mean? It's just whatever. You're in the wrong spot or in the wrong set or, you know what I mean? Or I don't know what it was like. You're not too far from where we are here, but in the last week and a half, the season was windy as hell here. Like, windy.
It was pretty windy.
Like 40-mile-an-hour winds, 45-mile-an-hour gusts, like just a constant battle with the wind.
It was a really windy fall. And I think that it didn't mess with the deer, I don't think. It just was tough. It was tough hunting. I took the wrong week off. I took a week off around Veterans Day because my property is always perfect around Veterans Day.
Yeah.
No matter what. People say that lockdown, whatever. Mine's always great. It's always when the big boys are on their feet searching.
So, you think you should have been earlier, right?
According to my trail cameras and according to what I saw, I should have been like Halloween until Veterans Day. That first week in November, from like November 1st to the 8th, was
perfect. I feel like that's probably here. I've noticed there's two. I feel like there's always like two kind of stages. That how I've killed a lot of my buck between Halloween and like the 5th of November here. And then after that, it seems like there's nothing moving until the week we can't hunt here in Pennsylvania, that week of Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Right. So the archery ends, and then all of a sudden that week of Thanksgiving, there's bucks blowing up all over the place. Bucks I haven't seen, this year was a little different. I didn't. Probably just because I have my cameras in different spots or whatever. I wasn't seeing that kind of activity. But typically, for me here, I see my best action, you know, maybe a day or two prior to Halloween and a couple days after Halloween-ish.
Yeah. See, and that's weird for me because I've always heard that. Like when you talk to some people, they're like, sometimes those biggest, like some of the biggest bucks get killed like October 27th till Halloween, like those last 3 or 4 days of October because they're ramping up, ready to go.
I just wonder if maybe that's the first time they get out and get going.
I think it is. Except for the funny thing is, on all of my properties where I run cameras, it's not a good time to hunt. Like that's when all of my little guys are out and I can see 80-inch bucks all day till the cows come home. But then it's like a light switch, and then Halloween passes, and it's like November 2nd through the 7th.
Hammer.
And they're just daylighting, 10 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 9 a.m., and it's like, I've got a couple of good rut funnels. I think I could kill one of these. And then I ended up shooting one of my – well, I shot my number one target buck the second to last day of PA archery in one of those rut funnels after lockdown, November 16th or 17th.
Yeah, it was late.
And unfortunately, that was one of the other major, that was probably the low light of my entire art hunting career, as I shot what we figure was high 120, maybe low 130.
Yeah, I think it was definitely all 125, I would say.
Yeah. So shot him at 40 whatever yards, 41, 42, and thought I drilled him, except for I didn't get any penetration, maybe 4 or 5 inches. And then we tracked that deer for 2 miles with the dog.
Shout out to Dee and Lula.
Yeah, yes.
Lula is amazing.
Absolutely. I appreciate Dee and Lula. That's a heck of a dog. I enjoyed watching that dog work.
I thought it was all like voodoo witchcraft until I seen that dog work. I will never doubt that dog. That dog knows 1,000 times more where that deer might go.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it was funny to me, too, because Dee had asked me, because we had a little bit of a hike to get to the hit spot from where we parked. And he's like, are we almost there? Because I want to slow her down, you know, because she's getting up there in age. He's like, I want to slow her down and get us rested. He's like, because once we get on the trail, she's going to pull me up this and I'm going to be sweating and I got to stay with her. And I'm like, yeah, we're coming up. We were like 50 yards away from the hit site. And she changed like her body language completely. Like she turned on a new level. And he's like, yeah, I know. Like he's like, is it up here? And I'm like, yeah, it's like 40 yards ahead. And he's like, she knows.
Yeah.
Like she could smell the blood and like knew.
It is. I mean, it's like magic.
Yeah. So I had jumped that buck 4 or 5 hours after I hit him, like 300 yards. He ran straight uphill. And then that was where we got D involved. And then we waited a good, like, 12 hours later. And we didn't want to wait until the morning because, well, D wasn't available. And I didn't want to wait 36 hours after the shot.
You tracked that thing at night.
Yeah, we started at, like, 10 p.m.
Yep.
And I shot him at 9 a.m. And we picked up right where I hit him. And then she took us right to where I jumped him 5 hours later. And then we got on blood. And we tracked him from where I jumped him, which was 300 or 400 yards after the shot, for almost 2 miles. And we jumped him like a mile and a half in at, I don't know, midnight. And he was still doing really well. And I don't think it was a lethal hit. I think after you and I talked, I think the only thing I can figure is I hit him lower than I thought. And it kicked my arrow up. So I think I hit him in that like sternum area.
I mean, that's the only thing I can figure. I mean, I would love it.
Love to
I would like to like have you go out there tomorrow and shoot that deer with the gun.
Yeah.
So we can like perform kind of an autopsy on it and see exactly where you hit it. I don't know. I mean,
nothing else makes sense because if you were to cut that deer in half from nose to tail, it was, I'd say, right in the middle, if not last rib, you know, left and right. And then I think I hit him in that sternum and it kicked my luminock up and made it look like I was center of the body from belly to back.
Yeah, but you were low.
But I was low because
I mean, and I'd imagine it was probably a big deer, like a big body deer.
Oh yeah, he's a big body.
You know what I mean? So, freaking deer are rugged, man.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, we just found a broadhead in the neck of Shayna's, you know, that she shot this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, you just never know. I mean, you and I were talking after you had shot it. I just was under the assumption that deer probably may have laid dead somewhere, but I don't know. You know, I mean, that thing could, I mean, you haven't seen it. I don't, you know, but that thing could just be laying low on a property. Like, it's off your property.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't think that deer lived on you. It lived on the neighbors.
Yep.
And you would see it during the rut.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah, so, he lived on our property for the 2 weeks during lockdown and post-rut.
Yep, so
we'll see. I'm going to actually take a walk tomorrow because I got tomorrow off. I'm going to take a walk over near that property and walk that ridge system where he ran, where we stopped tracking him. Because that's also where, well, I didn't shoot a buck there like 5 years ago, but it's where I saw one of the biggest buck I've ever hunted before. It was up on that ridge system where he's living. I figured, well, if he's just laying low and only getting up, you know, 100 yards feeding and laying right back down, I might go see
him. Because you never found the arrow.
Never found the arrow.
And it had a luminock on it. You'd figure you had found that thing in the dark.
I struggle to believe, though, the more I think about where, you know, Lulu and the dog, or Indeed took us, that arrow's still in him. Because, I mean, my arrows are, with the broadhead and the nock and everything, are probably 30 inches long, 30 and a half.
Yeah.
And we went through tunnels that were, like, 14 inches wide. And I only got maybe 6 inches of penetration. So you're talking 24 to 25 inches of arrow sticking out of this thing.
Yeah.
I struggle to believe it's still in him. I think he
might have flipped out somewhere.
I think he flung it and it went 10, 15 yards off the blood trail kind of thing.
Man, but you would have thought at night you'd seen that luminite glow. But I guess if the thing went off.
If the thing went off, it got covered with leaves. Yeah. Or, you know, another thing is like if we're hyper focused on the blood trail, nobody's really looking off to the sides. Who knows? But I don't think it's a – I mean, you and I talked, right? Because then instantly after shooting this thing and not getting penetration, my wheels start spinning of, like, maybe different broadheads. And you're like, I don't think it would have mattered what broadhead. If you hit him in that sternum, that thing's
not – I don't think it would have mattered. I think if you hit it – if you smoked that sternum or right where that rib touches right there, that arrow could have just glanced down, you know, and that's it. You know what I mean? You got nothing.
Yeah, that's all I can figure. But we never found the arrow, and then why we gave up is when we jumped him a mile and a half in, he jumped before we even got to him. We never even saw him. We just saw the blood change from dried up to fresh. And then after we jumped him, it was just muscle blood. No bubbles. There was no liver blood. Because that was the other thing. He was bleeding. I mean, I sent you pictures. He was bleeding pretty good the first 300 yards.
Yeah.
With bubbles and liver blood, which is why we backed out. But then in that bed that we found, it was all clotted up.
Yeah.
I think I just nicked the back of the lung and just nicked one side of the liver, which is why I got that blood off the jump. And then he just clotted up because it was such a thin slice.
Yeah.
And then it was just muscle. But then when he jumped that 8-foot ditch, that was like the nail in the coffin for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, when they, you know, when they start doing stuff that
regular deer on, yeah. That was my thing, is I was like, there's no way a wounded deer, I mean, this ditch was no joke. It was 8-foot wide and probably 5-foot deep, and he jumped that. Like he was just going about his day.
It's like the size of a Volkswagen.
So, and then after that, after he jumps the ditch, he starts heading up like our steepest mountain that we hunt. That it's so steep that during turkey season, you're grabbing saplings to pull yourself up, and he's running straight up it. And I'm thinking, there's no way that deer's
fine. Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he's probably laying low somewhere. You know what I mean? Hopefully the neighbors don't get a shot at him, you know what I mean?
No, I stopped and talked to the neighbors. One's already tagged out, and the other one hasn't seen him since Halloween, but that's, I expected. He's been on my side of the hill.
Well, that's good. Good.
So we'll see. I mean, he's potentially, if he makes it, he'll be in the one high 140s, maybe 150 next year.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah I'm going to go check out his hiding hole tomorrow.
Season is almost, he's got another week, right? And a weekend.
Yeah. Next week, and the weekend.
This weekend, yeah. So we got this weekend coming up, and then all next weekend and the weekend, and then...
And the final weekend. So we'll see. See if I can catch up with him if he's still alive.
Yeah. I mean, and who knows? You got plenty of time. Are you tagged out in New York?
No, I still got 2 doe tags burning a hole in my pocket, but now I'm so hyper-focused on Pennsylvania that I don't ever find time, because New York's rifle ends this weekend.
Yeah, so they're done, and then they go right into their extended season.
Yeah.
And then
so maybe I'll try to get out for extended season and try to get a couple of doe knocked down, but I mean, me shooting that buck in New York, the wife shooting her buck in Pennsylvania, and then before rifle season's over in New York, I'll knock a doe down. Hopefully she will. So we'll have 3 or 4 deer in the freezer. That's enough, but I'd like to get 5 or 6 and have surplus.
Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with I mean, we have been out. Now I got, 2 doe and a buck, so
right.
We are back to fully loaded, which I don't think I've ever seen my freezer as bare as it was. You know what I mean? My girls, for as picky as they are eaters, the one thing that they will always eat is the deer meat. So
that's a good thing.
I like to keep my kids fed anyways.
I'll tell you what, it's been a long time since I shot and wounded a deer, let alone have it be my biggest buck. That sucks.
Oh, man.
I know you had called me a couple of times and you're like,
it sucks. I mean, I've never done it. I've never did it with a bow until 3 or 4, I don't know, it's probably been more than that, maybe 5 or 6 years in the same year I did it. I wounded 2 buck, right? And D was convinced the first one lived because I was like ready to hang my tag up. I was like, I'm not hunting anymore. I'm done. You know, and D did the same thing. He tracked that deer for... Tracked that deer forever, and it ran straight up the hill. And D said, "Thing ain't wounded, right? You know what I mean?" And then later on that year, I hit one over on my lease. Same thing, man. I couldn't find it. And like I was telling you, I had to start thinking about what. Like I thought for me, what's wrong with my setup? Why am I not killing these deer all of a sudden? You know what I mean? So for me, it was. All the years, I'd always shoot these itty-bitty little small cutting diameter broadheads that I like, these fixed blades, right?
Yeah.
And, 7/8-inch cutting diameter. They flew like little bullets, right? And I felt like for me, maybe I wasn't being as focused as I used to be, and I was making shots that I thought were perfect but weren't. And my margins of error were now slimmer because I don't see as good as I used to. I don't shoot as good as I used to. Right. So I wanted something that was going to give me a little bit more margin of error.
Right.
That's why I switched to them Schwackers with that 2-inch cutting thing. And since I had switched, like immediately the following season and every season since, yep. Everything I've shot at with them setups, that setup I've been able to harvest. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to happen again, but yeah. That was a change I made, and I'm not saying like, you know, because you start asking questions about everything when you do that.
Because
it's like the worst thing ever, right? So it's like, I don't want to stop hunting, so you got to figure out what I need to do to hunt better, right? Or what you think you might have to do to hunt better.
It might be nothing.
Right? It might be zero.
Because to your point, I think it is just an artifact of hunting, right? I don't think there's a single person out there, if you were to ask them, that's ever, like, I'm going to say 50 years of hunting, right, in archery, and said, I've never shot anything and not recovered it. I just don't think that's a thing.
I don't think that is a. I think every person that archery hunts experiences now, that.
Unfortunately, for me versus you, your solution was changing broadhead. I think my solution is a brand new bow.
Yeah, I mean, you're going down a little bit of a different route.
But I'm going down that route because I know I was, you know, explaining it to you. That bow I have right now, I don't think it fits me perfectly. You and I have talked about like draw length, string angle.
You've had that bow even like before we had.
Yeah. I mean, that bow is a 2018 Matthews. Yeah,
so you have all the bows you're shooting that you've been shooting since then are all fit you different, you know, than that bow does.
And I bought that bow back before I was even in the competition side where I cared too much about how a bow fits you and what you feel and all that nonsense. So I don't know. I told my wife and I told you, I think for me, I don't like how that bow fits me, so I don't practice with it a lot. And I just, when I do practice, my level of, like, accuracy acceptance is lower than it is for competition, and it shouldn't be, right?
Yeah.
If anything, it should be better.
You say that, and I would say that you shoot well enough where I don't think it was an issue of, like, performance, you know, like accuracy or whatever. I think it was just, I told you this on the phone. Sometimes you shoot a deer and they don't die, and you've done every single thing known to man you could possibly do.
I can tell you one thing that didn't go right that I was thinking, right? We were just talking about it earlier in the podcast, was the drop, right? So for those that don't know, and Rob already knows this, this deer spotted me at like 30 yards. Didn't know what I was, didn't really, he saw something, didn't know it was me. So he's already on edge, and then he starts angling away until he gets to my first shooting window at what I had clicked was 40 yards. And then he was probably 2 yards past that trail that he was on, and I figured, well, he's on edge. At 40 yards, this deer is going to drop. So I just shot him with a 40-yard pin, and I'll be damned if I cut that arrow loose. He stood there like a damn stone and didn't even blink. I'm like, well, that's great. And now, like, that was the other thing is, you know, you and I talked. The difference between a 40-yard good shot and a 42-yard good shot is probably 4 inches.
Yeah, it's probably, five, six. Yeah, I mean, if I shot 40 yards at something that's 42, I'm probably, with my hunting bow, inches or 5 inches
right. long. And so if I broke a shot in the middle of his body or the bottom third of his body and he didn't flinch, and I can tell you he didn't flinch. That's why I think I hit that sternum and it just kicked my Luminoc up and made it look better than it was.
But I mean,
there you go again of like, if I aim high, you know, if I aim in the middle of his body and don't aim on the bottom third, the thing probably drops a foot and I shoot him in the back.
That's why, like, 40 yards in the woods at a deer to me looks like it could be 400 yards. Like, I have shot him that far, but man, every time I do, and like, I want him to be like 4 yards.
Where I shot that buck wasn't intended.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't.
No.
I didn't set up going, this is where he's going to walk. I set up over a logging road that was like 12 yards and 20 yards.
They always know how to be at 40 yards.
I think my favorite part of that story, which would have made it better, obviously, if we would have recovered it, was right before I shot this deer, he popped up on my cell camera about 200 yards away, and I scrambled real quick to like send it to you, and I'm like, big one coming. And like, all she replied back was, it's about to go down or something like that.
Like, I just wondered, like, the delay on the cameras. I tried to figure that out on my phone. Like, so
mine's about
the
a
time
minute.
I think it's like a minute or 2 minutes. So the time the camera goes off so the time you get the picture is like a minute. So you're always like a minute behind. Yeah. Right.
So I scramble to send you this picture and you reply back. And like instantly my head goes to, he's probably coming to my, like, I'm at a good pinch point. So where I got him on camera, like, he was probably already naturally coming there. But, like, I couldn't, because he was my number one target buck, I couldn't help but, like, grab the rattling horns and just tickle them together, just be like, hey, just head this way kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, man, he came in, I mean, I think that mattered, because he came in looking for a fight. I mean, he had his ears pinned back and everything. Because, I mean, November 16th, they've bred most of the doe.
Well, that's what they say, right?
Right, that's what they say. And I think that's true on my property, because he was definitely out looking for the next doe. You could tell he was on a mission.
Yeah, I mean.
But, hey, live and learn. Maybe I'll get him during rifle. That would be quite the story. Slowly,
2 more weeks, yeah. Or a week and a half.
Week anyways. And a half. But like you said, that'd be quite the story. 2 bucks well, down. And
I told you, both just like that buck. Deer in New York. Like, they are probably meant to be yours.
We'll see.
Yeah, now we're, well, I'm all done hunting. You still got a little bit. Matt, the only thing he hunts is smallmouth bass, and you can't hunt too much of that right around the house. So. Well,
with these temperatures, Matt's hoping for ice fishing.
She's a little cold.
Boat's up, right? Did you get that thing winterized?
I saw it yet, but she's next. So be winterized. I had to pull it out today to get to the four-wheeler.
Last Friday when he was thinking about going fishing, I drove by Kowneski Lake and it's like white caps.
It might
have also had like some pieces of ice floating out there, and I snapped a picture and I said, is the boat ready? He's like, screw this, yeah. I'm winterizing it.
Well, it was 30 degrees and blowing sideways.
I asked him the other day, I just felt like a snippet of a video on Facebook about some dude who was like ice fishing and 2 inches of ice, and I said, is 2 inches of ice enough to fish on? He goes, I don't know. And he looked it up, he goes, hell no, 2 inches of ice isn't enough to fish on.
I wouldn't do that. No way.
Now, I will say this. If we get another cold winter and we get a lot of ice this year, Matt's going to be getting some ice fishing stuff for next year.
Get a little hot?
Yeah. I don't know about hut, but we're going to...
Well, why not get a hut? I mean, if you get a nice heated hut, I might come out and... I mean, I'm not going to be out there freezing my ass off. I mean, if we got a hut...
I already got a buddy heater.
I don't care. We'll put like a community hut together or something. Sure. I wouldn't mind one of them things.
Listen, I was in college, we took a ground blind out and froze that thing to the top of the lake. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, cut the little hole in there. I mean, I'll be all for like... they try to stab him with spears... sturgeon, right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is
pike. Oh, yeah, pike.
Oh, that's... I'm all about that.
You'd fall in the hole.
I would probably fall in the hole.
You couldn't grasp the
spear. Probably not with my...
Not with your strong hands.
Yeah.
Have to throw it offhand.
I could barely hold this pencil up.
You would absolutely go in the hole.
Yeah. If we start getting hard ice pretty good and we can start getting up on, like, Cayuga and Cayuga again. Next year, I may start.
Cayuga probably freezes first. That's the smallest of them, right?
Yeah. But like, they were up on Cayuga last year.
Really?
Yeah. We got it. It was cold. We didn't get snow, but it was cold last year. So I think. I'm going to slowly start gearing up for next year's ice season, and I'll have something else to do besides sitting around like a bump on a log in the winter.
Well, it's kind of
in depression season.
Wait until the next archery event.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we already talked about a little bit about what we're going to be doing here soon. I mean, I want to go over some of the... The SmackDown stuff is like a month away. All these places are going to start their leagues right at the same time we are. Like, so that first, well, some of them are going to start early, but the SmackDown will start in all these locations that first week of January, right? So just to go over where we're shooting at again, we're shooting at Up and Arm Shooting Supplies in East Smithfield. They're a location. Average Jack Archery, he's in Phillipsburg, he's a location. Knockbusters Archery, Berwick, PA. Neal's Archery and Crossbow, Endicott, New York. Northwoods Archery, they're in East Corinth, Vermont.
Yep.
Nice to have them boys on board. Straight Arrow, we were talking about them earlier. They're in New Hartford, New York. FLX, Outdoors, Shortsville, New York. Keystone Fishing Game. They are the host of our, well, previously second leg, will be now the first leg. They're in Shamokin, PA. Weaver's Archery in Middleburg, PA. We're doing it here at RAM. And Four Seasons up in Weedsport, New York. So if anybody is interested in shooting the SmackDown or even getting involved in a winter league of any kind, I urge you to get in touch with these shops and see what dates and times they're offering. Because while we're all going to be part of this league, we are all offering different days of the week and times to shoot the league. So you really should check in with your local shop or whatever place is closest to you to find out what their days and times are, because everybody's got different times.
Like some of them, like us, I mean, we're only open Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So we run leagues Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Well,
I mean,
our leagues here are going to run like they always run, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And then we run a Sunday line for league, but they're not going to be able to shoot the SmackDown on Sunday because the scores are going to be in by Saturday. So for example, here, if anybody wants to shoot the SmackDown here at RAM, they get their scores in either on the Wednesday, Friday, or Saturday line. Because that's going to give us, not us, you two, more than likely, time to get the scores in on the computer, set the matches, and do whatever for the following
week. But we are treating it just like you do your league. You can shoot
ahead.
Ahead.
You can shoot ahead, right? So if guys want to shoot ahead here,
right,
you know, they could shoot, you know, because I've already talked to a few shops where they said they got guys coming in from long ways off.
Sure.
Now, and they want to shoot 2 weeks at a time.
Yep.
That's totally fine. As long as we got the scores, that's fine.
And you don't have to do – the shooting ahead doesn't have to happen in one sitting, right? If you wanted to go to your shop twice, you know what I mean? Like, if you have an event going on that you know you cannot shoot, you don't have to take four losses on the chin.
No.
So.
Another thing I just want to make sure that there's no confusion about is the cost. The cost to shoot in the SmackDown and your league in the shop is $25. That covers both leagues, both shoots. It'll cover your shop league and it will cover the SmackDown. It's not an additional cost. It's not something that you're going to get charged extra. There was a little bit of confusion with that. Talking to some of the guys, and I just wanted to go over that. I mean, the reception seems like it's been pretty good so far. I mean, I've talked to, you know, probably mostly all the shop owners here on this list, and it sounds like they all got, you know, 8, 6, 7, 8, 10 guys that want to shoot this thing.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, we're only going to get a couple weeks in before Lancaster. But, again, there's plenty of, at least up here, I don't know what else is going on all over the place, but at least for the things we're keeping track of, there are plenty of shoots if you want to get out and get some practice before the Classic, right?
Yeah.
There's not, like, there used to be something on Facebook, right? I don't even know. Is there still just some page dedicated to like all local indoor stuff, or
I haven't seen anything. I just see it when it scrolls across my feed.
Yeah, so we just keep track of it ourselves.
Or guys that know me start poking the bear, and they're like, "Hey, are you in or not?"
Yeah. So you're going down a mountain trail.
Yeah.
Your schedule is going to be nuts. You're going to a lot of these things. So you do it.
I try and put myself into the most uncomfortable positions to see what I do under pressure. I mean, I And I'm able to do that right now. I mean, so I kind of pick and choose how many I can get away with. But leading up to Lancaster, I have shoots.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably going to go to probably half a dozen of them before. you said House Knights running some.
Yep, so we got Mountain Trail this weekend. It is full. Rockville Rumble on the
21st or something.
20th is the line that I'm shooting. I'm shooting.
That's at 2 Harrisburg, o'clock. Right?
That's Harrisburg. Brady will be down there. Olivia will be down there. There's some hammers down there that do not shoot like Lancaster Open Division. Hunter Garrison is one of them. Yeah. They have some guys that can come in and pound. So it's going in and putting myself against those guys, and then after that, I'm going to Corning, and then after that is House Next Shoot on the 11th, and then us on the 18th, because I'm in the Invitational,
yeah.
17th if I have to fill in, which I really don't want to fill in there, but if I need to, I will, and then that following weekend, we're going to Lancaster, so.
Yeah, we're booked out for the next 2 months, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, not to mention, I think.
And then regular leagues on top of all of
that. Yeah, regular leagues, and then the SmackDown's going to run till March. So, I mean, and I know that there's, like I said, there's some stuff after even Lancaster, the Straight Arrow, yeah.
Vegas in a day.
Vegas in a day, we're doing here again, which.
Are you doing that on Vegas?
I have done it always on the weekend of Vegas.
I only say that because that'll push it to March.
Yes. I've always done that on the weekend of Vegas, and I will do it again. That shoot has grown every year. Last year, we almost had a full boat shooting that thing. Yeah, so that's kind of an insane shoot, but we'll definitely do that again. I mean, I think we probably ought to get on here once a week now for the rest of the winter
season. Now that hockey season's winding down, I think it's more than capable. It was a little crazy there because
I'm burned out. I'm glad I shot all my deer, to be honest with you. I'm ready to go back to work, as insane as that sounds. Like, I just want to be not in the deer woods anymore.
I am not to that point. I would happily stay in the deer woods versus go to my work.
Yeah.
That's just too much work.
I'm kind of ready to go back. I mean, I've got clients that are like, hey, you going to come remodel my kitchen anytime in the next 2 weeks?
Fair enough.
Yeah, so.
But no, I think us getting on here at least probably weekly, maybe missing a week here and there. But
yeah, no, but now we got kind of stuff to talk about. I mean, Matt's running a new bow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back to an old bow.
That's a topic for a whole different day.
Look, I told you, as I'm getting older, my brain turns more to mashed potatoes than like to think.
Listen, I just hope that what comes out of it is you shoot the best indoor you've shot ever in your life, and Matt's philosophy that got into your brain fixes everything.
I've been trying to call
it's
around.
Not my philosophy. I just hear stuff and I just start blurting it out like, oh, I heard this.
That's the problem. We gotta drain the wheels back.
Just start turning.
I already am like trying to message you guys and be like, hey, for those individuals who shot the Super Focus LD, the first gen, how similar is the RX or the
one? I think we just
the Super
wait till next year.
Yeah, there'll be some
because I imagine there's going to be a full facelift.
I think
on that PSE target side.
I would only speculate
because
that they're going to get a.
We've now had 2 years of Dominator.
Yeah. No, longer than that, because I've had my one for. It's been 3 years.
So 3 years of Dominator, but they've gone through some regime changes.
Yeah.
But they've still been changing all the hunting stuff. So they're still playing with the hunting side, dialing that in to just drop a bomb on the target side.
We're going to get some.
I think we're going to get both of them. We're going to get some sort of Supra.
Yeah.
And a new Dominator.
Yeah.
Or something. Whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, whatever. They like to use, they hash their old names. We'll see.
Oh. But yeah, that whole debacle of why Rob is shooting his old bow is for another day.
Look, you know, I'm just about shooting the best score I can. That's what, you know.
You put up a good score tonight.
Yeah,
like, so. I go back and forth in my head, like, oh, well, I probably could have done this with the laser. Then, like, something clicks, and I'm like,
you're shooting
that's the way it's supposed to feel.
You're shooting that bow pretty good. I think I'd give up on it quite
Meanwhile, yet. I'm back to shooting my 72-pound bow for
Ingrid. I just, man,
Rob's over here thinking that his shoulder would fall off.
I'm comfy today. I can sit there and shoot all day long.
I didn't realize you were shooting that much weight last week. You were talking about last week. What?
Yeah, so I'm going to run my outdoor, what I was building as my IBO bow. I'm going to run that all year.
Why you shoot a
I'm still wondering why you aren't shooting the 25s that you put down stupid score that was with them. Swapped over to the 27-12s.
It hasn't. I'm not gonna lie. It's crossed my mind because he's referencing his.
I would say
because
this.
I went from 27-12s to Ultra 27.
I shot a 327 or 328 this summer with those 25s.
I would shoot the 25s.
And Matt goes, that's what Matt's harassing me. He's like, why the hell are you shooting 27s? Forget about lines. You were putting in like a single hole in those paper.
Well, look. I hammer with the best of them for the most part, and I get things slow enough, and I can send it. The faster that arrow leaves the bow, the less input I have on it.
Don't worry, it's crossing my mind, especially because I'm about sick and tired of running aluminums and going, is that arrow bet? I think that arrow's bet. Then we sit out here and roll it on a glass counter.
If they're bent the right way every time, they're going to come off the same way.
See, this is the dilemma. Those that are listening, this is the stuff that I can deal with on a Wednesday night. Rob says, well, you don't even need fletchings. And really, the arrow doesn't even need to be straight. It just goes in the middle.
That is how it works out.
And then I've got the other devil on my shoulder, which is Matt, and he's like, oh, it's got to have this degree helical, and it can't be bad. It's got to be perfect.
I just put as much helical on the last that, chance lets me in.
That twists the piss out of
Well, not only twists the piss, but he's also like...
weird, stabilizing from the get-go.
Yeah. Matt wants that arrow to fly perfect, and you're like, yeah, I like it when it's got a wobble.
Everybody sees my... I'm getting vein hit on the way out of the cage and shot a 648 tonight. So
look at him drooling.
We're gonna break out the foot powder here and move my rest a little bit so I can get some vein clearance and then we'll go from there.
Well, next time we get on here we'll update everybody on how everybody's old and new equipment shooting. We'll run down what we all got going on.
I'm pretty much all new.
I'm shooting pretty good right now, I would say.
I mean, I feel like I went through like a weird thing there because I was all messed up in the brain, but I feel like I'm back to kind of where I'm
at. I had to learn how to reshoot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're just ramping up here.
Yeah, but everybody's putting them in the mid-320s already.
You know what I mean? Like, we're just ramping up here, so we'll see what the next...
Well,
2 months bring. All right. Well, the next week, wrap it up. Hopefully, we'll be back here doing this more often than what we have been. That's for sure. Good night, everybody.